So. So DBXKG Commons is a library that Daniel and Dan Nicholson have been working on to compile HDB key maps and give you the key block that you use to convert key codes to key sims and track the different XKB options that you have enabled. And because the way it works in the server, I'm not an XKB key expert here, so I might have it the wrong way, but the server will compile the key map into binary and then we load that in the server, and we're trying to use the compiler directly in the server and cast the file that we compile. And then,
Peter? We fork off HTTP/COMS, which then parses the wrong files into structs, pumps them into the same format, which is then loaded by the server and parsed back into the same structs that HTTP/COMS half a second ago.
Exactly. And what did XKB
we lose information on the way, just for fun.
Yeah. So we have...
Are you explaining the current XKB disaster?
Yes.
I don't think you need to explain that.
Hey, at least the XKB format is documented.
But what XKB common has to do is parse those, run the compiler as a library, basically. So you link to the XKB and you give it the rules, model, layout, option, parameters, and you say, go. And it'll return this big struct, like really convoluted, complex data structure, with some substructs pointing to other structs, and it's like a maze of the structs there. But it's basically all the keyboard files that you ask for, and all your options merged in and everything, so that you have this big struct. And there is basically like a black box. You can say, I got this key code from the hardware. Could you please give me a key sim for that? That match that corresponds to whatever current layout you have, what other options you've compiled in. So it's actually pretty easy to use. And what I try to do is to make it a little more accessible, because the way Daniel and Dan has worked on this is that they have dependencies on KB Proto 1.99, and so they're trying to wrap KB Proto to version 2. There's a new version of the XKM that they require. And there's a bunch of dependencies in this, but I think we should try to take this into a more standalone self-contained library. And we also essentially define a new API here. Nothing's going to be just working with XKB common. Some of the structs are different, some of the structs have different names, and it was kind of a bundle of structs picked from here and there. I tried to sort of put a consistent new interface and all this stuff, and try to hide some of the structs and implementation details and use some functions like that. So you get you really just get a pointer to this big XKB struct thing, and you have functions to get that into RFK. So that's some of the things I tried to do with my branch. But the problem, and what I wanted to do with this talk, was to try to maybe get a better idea of where Daniel and Dan are trying to go with this, what their timelines are, and what they like to do with this. And one of the things we can do with the XKB command is that we can rewrite the X server XKB implementation to actually use the XKB command. That first of all, get us out of the mess that Peter just described with parsing structs, writing to disk, and reading back in from information and all that stuff. Because we can now just parse those maps in the server stuff, and we're all set. One of the things we probably cannot do is we can't use the XKB in EXIF. Because EXIF has API that we have to support, and one of the things that XKB common tries to do is to try to have 32-bit key sums, key codes. Key codes. And that's an API break, so we essentially cannot use this code in EXIF. But that's also fine, because we can just say EXIF is EXIF, and then let EXIF be EXIF. So I don't try to change it too much.
You can still slot it underneath.
Yeah,
like in some ways, XCD was slotted underneath XCD, it's just what it's going to be with it.
Yeah, the code is there, it works. Yeah. So maybe it's not a big deal to just leave it as it is.
But yeah, it's also there's all the core stuff you can just leave as is anyway. Because all the XCD interaction is somewhat weird, because it defines how to go from one to the other, but it doesn't define the full round trip, so you end up with different information if you keep doing it.
Uh-huh.
Which is specs doesn't describe it, so core is basically just of passion and hope that keeps working.
Right.
But you can press off a lot of things under the EXCB rubrics.
Yeah.
Or you just force people to use EXCB.
Yeah, but then that is the other way to use XKB common. Is that XKB common is actually a good fit for the using XKB functions in XCB. So this is one of the things that maybe holding XCB back is that there is no way to use XKB to XCB. And XKB common fits that pretty nicely. Go in there and XCB can achieve only one XKB. And again, it's a tech room. I think some of the things we might want to add to XKB common is also the binary bypasser. So when you get the key map from the X server, you can just feed that into XKB common. So we have a few different ways of getting that big XKB black box.
So when you get the key map from the X server, that's protocol format that's actually defined as opposed to the XKB format that we just copied into parlance.
Right. But to work with them, XKB, you would have to be able to take that Java protocol, feed into the XKB common,
yeah,
and get the same result as if we parse the ones of the XKB class. So I don't think that
XKB could do that for us once it has a switch cycle.
XKB?
Yeah. You can use XKB to parse that protocol reply.
Right.
As XKB support.
Right.
So that would be reasonably trivial to add those two guys back there.
Yeah.
Hurry up.
Yeah, right there. It's only like three different repos that are our strengths, so it's pretty easy to wait and know the other one. So, but that's one of the things I wanted to resolve, and I'm going to have to paint Daniel and I when I get back, I guess.
I can't really speak for Dan, but as far as I know, his only interest is just to clean it up. He doesn't productize it to aim for what he doesn't have.
Right.
A timeline per se, other than you like to work with the formula.
Uh-huh.
So I think it took too much of his time away with X test because he started with that before and then kind of distracted him. So he went off on to X test.
Yeah, well, it's actually also an easy way to test maybe. You can test the key map and test the machine because it's very standalone. So from the library, you can parse it itself and feed something into it and see if everything comes out. The last application of XKB common I that this is of course if somebody were to write his own display server and want a keyboard layout support, then you can link in with XKB common and you can support all the crazy key maps and options that you know from X. That's a pretty important thing if you're trying to use. Because that's one of the things we really don't want to rewrite. Like all the key maps there, like we have hundreds of key maps, we have all these different options. I mean, who's going to do the Norwegian block mode layout for another display server?
That I think we have an Estonian Dvorak keyboard layout, just in
exactly.
case you don't know.
So that's
too difficult.
Yeah. Well, so that's something we have to remix. And fortunately, that this project is exactly the right fit for this. So it's a great project, but it seems like we need to figure out who maintains this, where we're going with it. Should we try to use it in the X server? Should we use or what's the plan?
If we don't use it in the X server, then it's not going to get well maintained. It's shared between X server and other servers.
I want to be in the X server because I'm getting like those macros to access the XKB structs.
Well, right
there. So those are the things we should make assumptions and try to hide this big nightmare struct in the main take struct and it's pretty close to the target for the
system. So could we use this in Xlib if we wrapped it up in a suitable wrapper?
Well, that would probably
I think so.
Yeah. I guess I was just echoing Daniel because he said that it wouldn't be feasible or worth it to use it in Xlib because
probably more
different
part because the XLib XKB code is stable enough that you probably just don't want to tamper with it.
Okay.
Because
yeah.
you don't really get.
Well, and the XLib XKB code pulls the XKB stuff from the server, so to
yeah.
some extent.
Yeah, so that's all protocol. But it
yeah.
uses the similar macros because at some point all the header files and structs are shared between.
Well, so that's one option is to actually add code to the XKB library to or in the exit, so that it can suck the protocol out and generate data structures that are compatible with the XKD library. And we can the same exactly. execution code.
We're just saying, take that protocol chunk from the server, make XKD come and understand that, and give you the same shot. So you can use, whether you pass a keyboard file from on disk, or you get a chunk from the server, you end up with the same structure, black box, that can do the same process for you.
Yeah, and in fact, if we found a way to serialize that, we could actually make sure that the structures are the same on both sides of the wire. But right now, we don't know that the server behavior and the client behavior is the same because we're transmogrifying the data so many times. A bunch of stuff that's getting lost.
Right. So you actually want the serialization in and out?
No, just for testing.
Yeah.
So
right.
we can actually verify that we have the same data for both sides of the wire.
So this library with a lot of potential, but it's in, you know, unclear where it's going.
Where is the moment?
Well, I have a vision that I cleaned up towards having a more consistent interface, and instead of having structs that you pull from XKD and then you define from XKM, you have to put in, and just say, we're starting a new project, we're putting in these structs, because there are XKD common structs anyway, there's no reason it should be in keyboard code, and we need to require a new keyboard code. So I've put a lot of these bits that you need from feeding edge protocol, because itself, into XKD common, in my code. And I tried to get Daniel to merge that, and he's always working on something else. But Daniel has his own copy where he's committed a few things as I formed it, and I think Dan Nicholson has another copy. So that's why it's a little hard to work with. It's a little hard to see where we're going with this.
Great.
But
Keep X work.
Yeah.
That's your repo problem solved, and Sean didn't want to focus too much.
Right. Yeah. So we really put it up. And I think what really needs to happen is also let's start using the X server, because then it's going to be clearer what API we're going to need to make the X server work right. And then we can start adding those functions to make sure that the X server can pull out whatever information it needs. And from there, I think it'll be easier to use it in Wayland, in XCV, because then, and also as Keith says, once we get it into the X server, it's on the main thing, maintenance hot pad. That's really about the X server that has to work. And we all in the hook for XKD commons. So that's probably good science. Let's create that repo, and let's see if we can then consolidate the different changes we have and go in that direction.
So does it parse the rules files as well?
So XKD commons?
Yeah. So XKD comp is just going to be a binary wrapper?
That
just parses the command line options and doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
Does it usually kind of look like my first parser too?
My first parser?
Because XKD comp is close to. Hey, I read a tutorial on parsers and I like the XKD parser.
Well, so who's writing it? XKD parser for this library? Is it already good?
The XKD parser is basically the XKD comp dumped into the XKD comp.
Oh, so using the existing parser?
Yes. Okay. Well, this is an attempt to try to rewrite the whole thing. It's an attempt to rearrange the code. And I'm sure we can write a better parser, but then you would be writing an XKD parser. And so I can totally see why Daniel just, Dan took the compiling, and he just put in a subdirectory and changed the types and headers to be compatible and work within the XKD comp. So that's how it is. It is the XKD compiler dumped inside everything.
Given the performance problems that we have with parsing the files at server startup time, and the fact that it affects boot time, is there some thought to potentially serializing the text files and just only having the parser run offline and reading a binary format instead? But the library that you're writing now is just going to parse the ASCII files, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so would it make sense? I know it's a more complicated and convoluted architecture, but instead you have the parser, an offline process, and when you install the KeyMap files, you compile them at installation time.
But the thing is that what you end up compiling is you basically cherry pick a bunch of stuff out of a lot of different files.
I know. Well, obviously the compiled format would have to be different than the current compiled format. You have to file independently.
They've got a binary format that, that takes all the different ASCII files into one big binary block.
Not one big binary block. Each little, I mean, each little piece would have to be a separate little binary block.
But you can't do that.
There is no reason.
You can do it. It wouldn't be a good idea.
It's an polynomial explosion of every single...
No. We have a finite number of files. You can compile the current files in binary form.
Yeah, but
no, options becomes options is part of it.
Yeah, of course. You put all that structure into a binary file.
Yeah, you can do a binary file for each ASCII file.
You can essentially tokenize, convert the ASCII documents into a tokenized ASCII file.
Isn't that for the parsing time or the time to remove all the time the files in
well,
the directory?
Well, right now we have a disaster because we're sucking ASCII files, blowing them back to the disk.
Because if you keep binary files, and you still have to start the directory.
Yes, you need that server startup time, which is critical path to getting your logging to go up on or your
actually, so what you're actually saying is binary form, it's pre-compiled headers.
Right.
You're not doing the entire key map.
No. Would it make sense to look at that? Because that is on the critical path to getting the set.
Actually, it's not since we start up with no devices and then hot plug the keyboard later.
The keyboard gets hot plugged, right?
Right, but that's...
So you end up running the parsing code while the system is booting, before the system is stable.
Did we merge that code where we just leave the HTML file there?
Yeah.
With the SHA?
Yeah.
So you only, unless you switch lighthouse, you don't parse anything anymore.
Yeah. That code actually didn't work. But yeah, we could do that too. Do we want to continue doing that, or do we want to get rid of that, the current binary format, and go to a format that doesn't ever require parsing inside the server? I'm just asking.
So doing it, the old, doing it the old way with cache has problems if you're trying to do unprivileged X, and your X server may be running as different people at different times.
Well, no, obviously the first person who starts the X server, they're going to cache the key map file.
But if you did it pre-compiled,
yeah. So each
like
person
SC
ends
cache.
Up pre-compiling yeah. the key map. It's not a huge file.
We already have a binary format for all that.
Yes, but our binary format means you have to compile the particular layout that you have.
No, but this is actually have a different binary format. The base binary format that we can use is what we use in the wire, because it's the only actually documented defined format. We should not be using HKM because it seems to be completely random anyway. We have case of GSD defined as on the wire. There's no reason we couldn't use that as a binary format.
But that's
we have
the whole
parsing code for it both ways.
That's the whole key map. We couldn't use that as a cache.
For dumping things, we shouldn't use HKM. We just use case of GSD as a binary format.
That's very compelling.
Because, yeah, you can parse it both ways already.
And we know it's sufficient to run XKE. Because it runs XKE.
Yeah, and it's documented.
Use the protocol format as a format.
As the binary format, because, yeah. I mean, once XKP2 comes out, which is shortly after Duke Nukem.
Duke Nukem's coming out next year.
Well, then you better hurry up. you're going to need a new binary format then, but, you know. That can be dealt with.
That's actually a
breaking binary.
There is also that now we have XKD coming in a standalone file. We could do those tests, maintain that the integrity of the library to do the verified test. Once we have that framework in place, you can start optimizing the compiler and say, oh, you do this. And you can run the test as you optimize the compiler. Maybe we can get fast enough that we don't need the pre-compiled format. I mean, it's not like we have a lot of data off disk. There's a lot of files in the XKD map, but the only reason the US key map, you're reading that file and this file, so you got carefully 5 or 10 files at most out of these hundreds of files, passing those from the key map. That should take 100 milliseconds.
It does currently take 100 milliseconds, but I think a lot of that's just terrible code.
I'm definitely.
But even if we get it down to 20 or 30 milliseconds, getting that out of the boot cycle is enticing to a lot of people. So I like the notion of just using the cache because it's so simple and using the existing wire format.
Yeah.
But just wondering if just getting rid of the ASCII format and reading binary files, if we ever read them.
Yeah. I mean, I think you could do one binary file per file, but there's a lot of small files in there. And I think it makes sense just to take all those files into one big block and map it, and then you can wander through that, dig out the pieces you need, and then on that.
That would certainly reduce the number of disk blocks you end up needing. Yeah. but you'd end up wanting to kind of sort it into an order that made the commonly used pieces of the cache.
Yeah, you could optimize it for that as well.
Yeah.
Or but those are the thing about XDB coming is that those are projects we can do that later, but as a first step we can add the XDB coming in the X server, create the X server, and then we have to get that on user organization.
Yeah. So what's the status of the library?
Well, is that is, as we talked about, is that it's not really clear who maintains it or where it lives. So we need to, as Peter said, just make the repo, make the libxdb from a repo, put one department in there, merge whatever else is out there, and then that becomes a repo. And
it's easy. We did the same thing with HTS because I had one dynamic copy, Aaron had a copy, and it was like, no,
yes,
it's just one common one, it's just maybe one version of the same code.
Yes.
It's just much easier.
Does somebody want to take over maintainership for this?
For XDB coupling? I think that's part of the problem. So it is a hot potato. Whoever touched the glass is the maintainer.
You don't have to be the maintainer, you just have to be the person monitoring against going in and out.
Yeah. But I can take an action item here to put the repo in place and send out an email describing what it does and where we should think about going to the library, and then we can see what happens.
Well, it seems like it's a critical path for a couple of things related to what Intel is doing right now.
Yeah.
Boot time and non-interest.
Yeah, so we definitely have an interest in that.
Yeah.
And I already did some work on it.
I think you already know.
This is why I told Daniel that I was going to be here, because then there's going to be...
Yeah, you've been promising XKD2 for how long now?
3 years.
But and we're not allowed to call it XKD2 or something.
What?
He says we're not allowed to call it XKD2. I don't know.
He's been promising it for how long now?
Well, he told me before we merged MTX to branch. I said, okay, well, if you're ready, we'll just merge XDB2 first, and then rebase NPX and merge later.
Yeah.
And that was April 2008.
That's a while ago.
So it's nearly done for 2 years.
Yeah. And just needs a little bit of cleanup. I've never seen any code at all. I've pasted them so often just to push it to produce stuff. Somewhere, I don't care if it's cleaned up, I've never seen code.
That's probably why it's not here this week.
Does anyone have the branch of the X server that was using XKB command rebased to something recent or not? Because from what I found with Google, there is only an old repository from Dan, which is no longer available on the desktop.
Yeah, probably got lost in a big fire.
No, it was before that.
I've got one right here.
You can find it?
That's a reported XDB on sometimes.
Okay. So it may be interesting to also point people to this branch
yeah.
so that they can experiment with the code actually and test it.
We can just put that in 110, right?
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Submit patches.
All right. So we have our first 110 for you.
Done. Can we do the library?
You need to pull on the... That you might need to do something more.
What?
It's a good looking dip too. Ends up being like negative 25, 2700 lines.
Awesome. Yeah. I think we should change the stats so that when you remove code from the server, you should get 10x credit for adding code to the server.
For removing.
What?
You said adding. You meant removing.
Yeah, removing should be 10x the credit of adding. It would be interesting to see what the total server line count is between like 1.5 and 1.9.
Oh, that's an easy.
Yeah.
Obviously easy to do. It's a little bit bloated because the NIP files for OSX changed, but I can pull those out. I think it ended up being negative 30K or so last time we checked.
I
So this is just a simple example of how it could be used in Wayland. And this here is a simple Wayland client. It's not what it's not going to be like. It's demo code. It's a terminal emulator. Oh, out there. It's not out there. So this is the Wayland compositor running under X, and this is my simple terminal, and it's all throwaway code because any real client running on Wayland would be using Wayland GTK or Wayland Qt or Wayland MX, for example, MX and Cloud on Wayland, and all those tools would link to XKB common as well, because with Wayland you just send out the raw key codes, and the client is then responsible. Well, that's how XKB works too, but so GTK, Cloud, Qt would all use leave XKB common to parse that key code and convert it into a key sim that they can use in deciding what to do with the key press. And this is going to turn on the X, but what I did here is just to test the XKB integration. I added a few options so you can specify the XKB layout next to the options. I'm setting the option to use the control key as a caps lock as an extra control key. And you can say, since I'm in France, I should use that France layout.
So you've just proved that it's having an
effect. Yeah, it's not a finished product yet.
Yeah.
It's still working. You can but I just type stuff here and from caps lock is now control key. So that might work.
Give you a demonstration for the switch key the layout and the new part.
There's no keyboard binding to do that. But.
So how does the terminal get the key map from the Wayland server, or is it read off the disk?
The terminal passes the files from disk.
So how does it know those files correspond to the keyboard that's attached to the Wayland server?
Well, the Wayland server will send out basically the RSVO script to the strings that identify the layout.
Okay.
Pass those to the client and the client would pass the keywords at that point.
What are you going to do for per key mapping? You're going to support it?
Per key mapping?
People change the map.
Or you can just order two keys. Yeah, I don't know. If we wanted to do that, we would have to have a more model like this. That's more like what X does. We have a key map that the X server maintains. But the way you do it is you change it, you send it out.
Because then you suddenly have a more XKB protocol.
Yeah.
People do read, unfortunately.
I know.
Why did people do it?
Yeah.
And I know any of you pushing for it, but just let us use our LDO, this community for it.
Yeah.
That's not an option. Not willing to do it anymore.
Yeah, I know.
The same as the XKB.
No, modifies the client time, track some large parts. So when you get an entry event, you get the list of key codes that are going to pass down. And then from there you can go and look up the modifiers of those key codes, and from there you get the modifier mask. So you never get a modifier mask from the server, because the server doesn't really know which keys are modifier. So that's basically it. And as you get key up and down means you have to look up your key. You say, oh, this is a modifier, so the object is a modifier mask, but then I'm still like,
but you use the same internal SQL GST that another applies as well. SQL GST format, I think it goes through the service types so that you have different types of keys and stuff.
Yeah,
all that is
identical. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm
not an expert.
XKB is always specified. I'm having really troubles imagining how you do proper table layout without being XKB or re-implementing in one way or another. That's the main problem.
Yeah, the problem with keyboard is it is a very problem. You're going to end up with a convoluted solution because it is a complete problem.
Do you think it's possible for people to just write their own layout files instead of trying to also support dynamically modifying the layout on the fly? I mean, it's a lot easier to just teach people how to edit the XKB files than to have them, yeah, they have to have a mechanism to support a separate key now. But right now, one of the disasters of XKB right now is the intermixture of XKB and the core X keyboard mounted stuff.
Yeah, but that is true. Instead of we have to change key methods on the fly, you could just say use these modifications that I have built. So that's certainly one way to use.
No, we certainly don't want two key methods like we have today.
No. It's going to be all HTTP.
No, yeah, we still don't have one in the server. We used to have the cocktail.
Yes.
Yeah.
At least we only have one of these.
Before, it was 1.6. I think 1.6 is what the full copy is.
Now we have
the HTTP map and pick up the internet.
Yeah.
Peter, the trouble is now we have the HTTP one.
We should say it's not a problem.
So that's why I'm happy that we can share the obvious solution between the different products that need keyboard masks. All right, I think we got a good conclusion of what to do with the XKB common issue and I will do that when I get back. So, but that was basically the XKB common topic.